If you're a guest today, I pray and I hope this won't be the last time you come, that you'll come back and feel free to join with us again any Sunday. We love having you here and pray that you'd be blessed. You've already been blessed. May you be blessed today as we hear from God's Word. Would you pray with me? God, we just thank you for this day and for your Word and for this great story. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for what you did on the cross for each one of us. May we know the story. May we live the story. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the cool things about telling stories is when you know, have you ever been in a crowd of people and somebody says in that group of people, "Man, have I got a story for you." And everybody like leans in because they want to hear this great story that's going to be told. And you know, we've all probably been part of that. We've all probably have plenty of family stories or stories about our friends. In fact, we could probably spend the next couple hours just sitting here having y'all jump up and tell stories about one another. There'd be some really good ones. And we could rehash all them and laugh together and share life together. And that's what happens when we tell stories. The fact is, everybody loves a good story. I mean, who can forget Buzz and Woody? I mean, one of the greatest stories ever about, you know, these Toyland friends. I mean, just stories after story after story. And the movies about Buzz and Woody. And what a cool thing. Everybody loves a good story. You know, a couple weeks ago, if you're a golf fan, last weekend actually, at Augusta, was a story of Tiger Woods. And there's not one sports writer in America that thought they would ever see this again. Not one. No one thought that would happen. No one thought that Tiger Woods would ever win the Masters again. They didn't think he would ever win another major. They didn't even think he would play golf again. How cool is it to see that kind of story lived out and to see that happen right before our eyes? Everybody loves a great story. You know, there are lots of stories that, you know, we hear that history is full of great stories. Maybe you heard the story about the little girl who was born in this family. She was the 20th of 22 children. 20th of 22 children. She was born premature. They didn't think she was going to survive. At age 4, she developed pneumonia and scarlet fever. Left her paralyzed on one side. They had to put a metal brace in her leg so she could even drag it around. By the time she reached 9 years old, she was tired of that brace. In fact, she was tired of being teased about having that brace. So she decided she was going to get rid of that brace, and she took it off. Never wore it again at 9 years old. When she was 13, she was kind of walking in it with a rhythm. Doctor said that was impossible. It was never going to happen. It was a miracle that she could even walk. That same year, 13 years old, she decided she wanted to start running. So she started to run. And then she decided in that same year she wanted to start racing. And so she entered a race. She finished last. In fact, every race that she entered that year and for the next few years, she lost. In fact, she came in dead last. Till one time, and 1 year, she entered a race, and she won. She never lost a race again during her teenage years. She went on, in fact, to the Olympics, won 3 gold medals. Her name was Wilma Rudolph. And then maybe you've heard about Bernie Marcus. Anybody know who Bernie Marcus is? Bernie Marcus was a son of a poor Russian cabinet maker in New Jersey. Bernie worked for a retail store named Handy Dan. In 1978, he got fired. Who gets fired from Handy Dan? I mean, really? But he gets fired from Handy Dan. He didn't know what to do. So he decided, he and a friend of his named Arthur Blank decided to start their own retail store. And they did. First store, 1978, in Atlanta, Georgia. called Home Depot. Only everywhere in the world today. And then, let's see, there's that story. There's a Wilma. Let me see, what else story? What other stories do I have to tell you? The one about the basketball player. Skinny, 5'11 guard. He had some skills, but not good enough to make his high school varsity team. In fact, he got cut as a sophomore. His name was Michael Jordan. I guess he turned out pretty good, didn't he? 6 NBA championships, 5 most valuable player awards. Yeah. Great stories. And then, you know, you turn to the scriptures, and there are all kinds of great stories in the Bible. Stories about people and stories about the way lives have been changed and the way God began to move in people's lives. I mean, stories like Moses and Joseph and David and Job. And then you get to the New Testament, the story of Peter, who in the Holy Week that we just went through, and during Holy Week, you remember, he denied Jesus what? How many times? 3 times. And yet, his comeback story, his great story was that he got to preach the Pentecost sermon. Great stories in the scriptures. Great stories. And as good as all those stories are, and every story in history, as good as they are, that's still not the greatest story ever told. In fact, the greatest story ever told is one that's in your bulletin this morning. So grab your bulletin if you've set it aside. Or if you have your Bibles, you can grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter. And I'm going to read the first 6 verses. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they'd prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And they stood there puzzled. 2 men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified. They bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." That, my friends, is the greatest story ever told. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is alive. So let me tell you about how this story came to be. Most of us know, or at least we've heard little bits and pieces of this amazing story of Jesus. That first of all, he was born in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. I mean, who would ever script that kind of story? That the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would be born in a manger. Who would ever script that out? God would. He lived a life of relative obscurity, actually. He was the son of a carpenter. He went to a wedding with his mom. And it was at that wedding that everything changed. Because at that wedding, Jesus turned water into wine. In fact, it was the best tasting wine that those people had ever experienced. And that moment, from that moment on, everything changed in the life of Jesus. He went through the next 3 years of incredibly high visibility. He talked about a coming kingdom. He shared time after time after time the promises of peace for all the people. He spoke about God like he knew him. and like he was on some kind of mission from God. He healed diseases. He restored sight to the blind. He allowed he made the paralyzed to walk again. He cast out demonic spirits. And he changed the life of every person that he encountered. And then the tide of popularity changed. From him being the coming Messiah King to being merely a common criminal who would be punished by death on a cross. He went through the mockery of a trial, public beatings that he endured. He was forced to carry his own cross upon which he would be hung to die. And when he does die, his body is taken down and he's taken to a borrowed tomb. Not even his own. To a borrowed tomb. And he's buried. And that tomb's entrance is sealed with a large stone. All that he had gone through, all the hope that he had given people, all the dreams of his followers shattered in a moment's time on a hill called Golgotha. But let me tell you the rest of the story, and let me explain to you why this story is so important. And let me tell you why it's the greatest story ever told. Listen, it wasn't so that we could have Easter egg coloring contests, or Easter egg hunts, or chocolate Easter bunnies. That's all cool, it's all good stuff. But that's not the why of the story. You see, the story didn't end inside of a tomb. That's where it started. A friend of mine said, Jesus experienced supernatural suffering and guilt so that we will never know, so that we can experience, listen to this, so that we can experience supernatural healing and forgiveness that we could never earn. That's the story. Jesus did what he did. Jesus went through what he went through. Jesus suffered and died on a cross. Took all the sins of all humanity for all time upon himself. Suffered and died. Was put in a tomb. Buried. And he rose again. So that we could experience supernatural healing and forgiveness. How many of us need to know that we're forgiven? How many of us need to know that this forgiveness thing is a real thing? We struggle with life because we can't forgive ourselves. We can't forgive others. But Jesus died on that cross so that we could know forgiveness. So we could know it's real. Listen, God loved this world that he created. It was a world that it rejected him. And listen, God loves each one of us so much that he sent Jesus on a mission of love to pursue us. To make life change and eternal life for every person, for every man and every woman and every boy and every girl, a real possibility. God loves us so much that he sent his only son Jesus into the world so that everyone who believes in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life. Do you believe that this Easter Sunday? Jesus conquered sin and death so that you and I could have life. Real life. Now, maybe this morning you're here and you're like, man, That is confusing as all get out. I don't get that. I don't understand it. I'm not sure I can wrap my brain around it. Listen, if that's confusing to you this morning, if you're here and you're like, I'm not sure I understand all that you're talking about. If what Cindy talked about with the jelly beans, if what you've heard the choir singing about, the band talking and singing about, if all that's a little confusing to you, let me just ask you to do this. Don't leave without talking to someone. Talk to me or one of our staff about that. Because we would love to help you understand what this greatest story ever told is really all about for each one of you personally. You see, Jesus loved each one of us. He offers forgiveness to each one of us. He longs for us to be healed and to have and to experience His grace. That is the storyline of Easter. That's the greatest story ever told. And here's why. It's in those other two passages in your bulletin this morning. The ones from 1 Corinthians 15. So if you've set your bulletin aside, grab it back. And I want you to read just a couple of verses. Just follow along as I read these. I want to start in about the middle of verse 3. Listen to this. This is so important. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and He was raised from the dead on the third day. Go down to verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only in this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. So like the angels told those ladies, He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. That is the best news ever. Because we can be assured of life forever with Him when this life on earth is over. Let me just say this. There's not anyone here this morning that's going to escape this life without death. It's going to happen. What we choose today determines where we find ourselves in eternity. What we choose in this life determines our eternal destiny. That's why this story is so important. That's why it's the greatest story ever told, because Jesus did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And listen, we don't have to hope so. Oh, I hope that when I die, man, things are going to be okay. We don't have to wish it were so. We don't have to think that oh man, I hope I do enough good things in this life that outweigh the bad, so that when I get standing in front of God, you know, He's going to let me in. We don't have to do any of that hoping and wishing and trying. What Jesus did on the cross for us, it's called grace. He offered us Himself. He offered us forgiveness. He offered us life eternal. That's the greatest story ever told, because He is risen. He's not in that grave anymore. Jesus said that we can have life. Life in its fullness. Right now and forever. There's never been a story like this in human history. Ever. There's never been a story of a human being who conquered sin and death. There's never been a story of a guy who would go to a cross and give his life for everybody else. Ever. So what do you, what do I, what do we do with that story? Here in just a moment, we're going to offer you the opportunity to come and to join together at the Lord's table. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of experiencing anew and fresh God's grace and God's forgiveness and communion with God. So before we do that, I want to ask you to be part of this prayer. It's a corporate prayer. It's a prayer that we all say together. It's important that we say this prayer together because it's true what we're going to say in these words. And I just invite you, if you can stand up, if you would do that, and let's pray these words together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love, and we've not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And you can be seated.